Hi, and welcome to ArtCast. I'm Denny Boynton, your host, and today I'm joined by two gentlemen from CCH, Gerline Radhawa. Gerline Radhawa, I could say that. And Jones
Pavan.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Good.
Thank you for joining me. So, we are here at the Professional Developers Conference 2009, and you guys are here talking about some things that you've been doing in Azure. Why don't we start off and tell us a little bit of what you do with CCH and what the company's all about.
So CCH is a tax and accounting company. So we have software which essentially is for tax companies, for accounting, as well as we have some auditing tools as well. And we work with the top 100 tax professional companies.
Okay, so you manage data for taxes, essentially.
Right. It's data as well as services. We have publications as well.
Okay.
So it's kind of, we have lots of products which give you an end-to-end solution. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, it's kind of in the whole arena of tax, which might be income tax and sales tax, and all the peripheral software that you might use with that.
Excellent. Okay. And what are your roles there? What do you guys do?
So I'm the manager in sales tax department.
Okay.
So we deal specifically with sales tax and use tax needs of our end customers.
And I'm a lead applications architect with the CommaSearch system.
Okay, excellent. All right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the solution that you guys put together in Windows Azure. And you've been speaking about this week at the conference, right?
Right.
Okay. Why don't you give me a summary of let's start with what was the problem that you guys were facing that sort of led you to the cloud?
Right. So a solution that we put in, it's called Sales Tax Office. So it's an enterprise-level sales tax calculation engine. Currently, it's an on-premise solution, right? So our customers have to install it and manage it and host it themselves. So the logical step for us is basically convert it into a SaaS solution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we're going to convert into a SaaS solution, either we host it or we use the cloud technology to do all the hosting for us.
Okay.
So the advantage is our customers, right, from their perspective, they don't have to now deal with the cost of managing the hardware. And from CCH perspective, we don't have to worry about scaling out because we can start with less hardware and don't have to worry about managing the environment and everything. So all the things that we save, they can be passed on to our customers. It's a win-win situation.
I see. So when you say a sales tax engine, what I'm thinking of is almost a service endpoint in the cloud as opposed to a SaaS solution where I'm assuming that there's a user interface, the user goes in and uses. Is that accurate?
So there are two parts to that. So one is a user interface, right, through which you're going to set up your system.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a service, which essentially you consume in your own application. Now, what we have done is we very tightly coupled with Dynamics solutions as well. So Dynamics, AX, NAV, and GP. So you could just buy our solution and put our kind of what we call a plugin, which interfaces Sales Tax Office with Dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And now you are inside your Dynamics and you're just doing your normal workflow. And we are doing all the sales tax calculations for you behind the scenes for you.
Great. So really, you've created two options for them. Okay. So they can use the SaaS solution if they don't have an application to figure that with, or they can just connect directly into your service.
Well, somewhat, right?
Okay.
One is really an admin module, and that admin module will eventually be migrating to a web application. At this point in time, it's just a web form. So it's a Windows Forms app. So for this case, we're connecting directly to the Windows Azure, to the SQL Azure database. For the web interface one, we're connecting. You can either connect directly, or you can connect through the plugins that Gerline was talking about.
Okay, all right. And that was interesting. You mentioned SQL Azure. Are there other aspects of Windows Azure of the Azure platform that you're leveraging for this application?
No, at this point in time, we're focused on SQL Azure. We start to look into the security aspects that especially the. The service bus, the Azure service bus is especially important to us due to the importance of protecting our customers' information. In this case, it's not that relevant because most of the information we're putting in the cloud doesn't really involve any issues with customers' privacy. But for future systems that we're looking to migrate into the cloud, that will become an important aspect that we're considering as a solution where we have part of the solution hosted on premises and part of it in the cloud connected through the Azure Service Bus.
Okay. Was this now this application, the sales tax application, that existed prior to you moving? Was this something that you migrated into the cloud from an on-premise type of installation?
Right. So and like I was saying, it was a phased approach. So our first thing was we wanted to make an on-premise solution, right? And then our next phase was to make it into a model so that people could consume the service.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly we had the base already done. And the way we did our on-premise, it was again web service-based solution. So the only thing that we really wanted to kind of see was it's built with a tool called Plex, which is kind of manufactured by Computer Associates. So it's a modeling tool. So all the code is generated by Plex itself. So that's our main concern was, can we just forklift everything which is done by a modeling tool and put it in the Azure cloud? So certainly we didn't have to make too many changes. Fortunately, it worked pretty well.
Okay.
And not only that, the modeling tool generates the source code, but it sits on the top of some Plex libraries, right? So we wanted to make sure that this Plex libraries would actually run in the Azure platform, and that was our biggest concern. Fortunately, it worked out well.
Okay. And so you were able to actually take the pre-existing stuff that you did in Plex, and that's being hosted in the cloud.
Yeah, it was actually pretty smooth. It was surprisingly easy to make that happen because we actually didn't have to do a lot of re-architecting engineering in this specific case. The only concern that we have for the future will be the limitations regarding the database size. We may need to re-engineer the database to fit into the 10 gigabytes limitation.
Okay. That was the other question I was going to ask you was, what types of challenges did you run into with the migration, moving it from your on-premises solution into Azure?
I don't think that Plex was the number one issue that was our biggest concern. We wanted to make sure the Plex libraries would actually run in the cloud. And then besides that, it was the limitation regarding database size. We might have to re-architect database, partition database to fit into the cloud model, and that would incur into a bigger cost that we'll have to justify to management in order to migrate applications to the cloud. So far, the 10 gigabytes limitation is okay. For the future, we'll probably have to re-engineer that piece.
Okay. With the size and the scale that Azure gives you, I'd like to ask, how do you monetize this? How do you actually build? So the first question is, with the existing solution you have, how are you driving business off of that? And then I guess the other question would be, how are you looking to extend this in the future and do more, not with that specific application, but within the Azure environment itself?
Right. So as of now, it's an on-premise solution. So the way it's being monetized is you just buy the solution and you license it yourself.
Yeah.
Now, once it's going to go into the cloud, then it's going to be per transaction basis. So essentially, you're going to buy transactions, and then we have to look at, how much the cost is for us putting our solution in the cloud, and how we're going to kind of look at that and how we charge our customers based on what kind of, I think, costing we get from Microsoft.
Okay. I think it's one of those things that I think, from an architecture standpoint,
right,
you look at Azure, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
And you see the benefits of it. But one of the things that I know a lot of companies are thinking about, and you guys are sort of paving the way for this, is how do we take our intellectual property, the things that we use to drive our business, and make them available to other people in a way that they can now leverage it and extend what we can do, and at the same time, it opens up a new revenue stream for us.
Right.
And attending to the conference, we heard several different stories about how people are utilizing the cloud to leverage their current solutions. Depending on the nature of the system, it makes sense to leverage one way or another. We heard some interesting stories about companies that are using it to boost computing capacity during peak times. So in our case, for example, we have some applications that are very seasonal in nature. So during tax season, you need more computing power. Instead of paying for the computing power ahead of time and not utilizing it during most of the year, we can use Azure to boost our computing capacity during specific peak times. That'll be an interesting story. Another interesting story to us is the ability to have part of the application running on premises and another part of it running in the cloud, connecting it to the Azure Service Bus. And the third story that I can think of is to actually use it for a grid upgrade. We have some tax calculations that are quite complex. So if we can do parallelize the calculation, we can actually have these calculations done faster, more efficiently.
Right. So when we get into this topic of kind of these, I think of them as sort of a hybrid architecture where you have the cloud and on-premises and they're interacting and working with each other. Obviously, security of data, and in many cases, legislation and regulations by different governmental bodies dictate what can and can't go in the cloud. From an architecture standpoint, what are some other things that you're thinking about as you move forward with this and start looking to do on-premises as well as cloud?
Well, We're still looking to that, but that's exactly why we're looking to using the Azure Service Bus to interconnect these two systems, right? So we'll basically use the cloud only as a calculation engine, make sure that all the data that's sent to the cloud is secure. At this point, we are not necessarily hosting any sensitive customer data in the cloud that they'll be hosted on premises. So the idea is to just use the cloud to spin off computing power. You need additional computing power to do the complex calculations. That's when you use it, make sure that the whole channel is secure and that no data is persisted in the cloud at this point in time. This may change in the future.
Another thing depends on, right, once the cloud gets certified, let's just ask 7D certification. So once the certification starts coming in, us as a company and our customers are going to start feeling much better about the cloud as well.
It opens up more options for you there.
It opens up more options, but we still have to keep our options open. Even if the system is certified, some customers still might not want to put their data on the cloud.
Right.
So I think, yeah, we have to look at using a software plus service kind of model in which some of the components reside on the cloud and some components reside on-premise as well.
Okay. All right. Are there other considerations when you look at doing the mixed architecture between cloud and just outside of data alone? I mean, are there other things that you're taking into consideration? You've also mentioned scalability.
Right.
Is there certain pieces that you would consider running in the cloud specifically and then have actually application code as opposed to just data running on-premises for that? Are you looking at that
at
all?
Well, I think it works really well for operations that can be done asynchronously, right? So if you have an architecture where it can actually offload some of the load of the system into the cloud and just queue them all up and eventually get a response back, that's an excellent way to use the cloud as well.
Okay. Right.
And I think another thing would be, I'm hoping happen, is people writing aggregators. Because all that data, right, especially with the coming of DALs, we have all that rich data available in the cloud.
Sure.
So you can be a very good aggregator, right, combine the good, rich information which is available on the cloud and make an interface and kind of sell it to the customers so that now it makes sense. So I think that's another thing, because we have a solutions in the cloud which are services, but we also have sales tax data.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially people consume our data as well. So that's another opportunity we are looking at the cloud. Can we use Dallas as a service?
As a way to feed that data out. Oh, okay. All right. Excellent. Well, I think what you've done so far is outstanding. I mean, it's a great concept. I think it's especially when I remember years ago when I was working on actually building a point of sale system and dealing with taxes and how complex the data can get. So I think it's a great use of Azure. Sounds like you've got some great plans for the future. So congratulations on being able to come and talk about it at PDC this week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Sure. Pleasure, gentlemen.
Sure.
Well, that's all for this episode of ArcCast. I'm Denny Boynton. Thanks for watching.